3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Jeremy Jackson here with Craig Fast. Craig and I have been Facebook friends for quite a while. We've been talking about barbecue because in Texas, barbecue is probably the number one food. And if you're not in Texas and you eat barbecue, then you probably don't know what barbecue is, right? So there's Texas brisket, which is real barbecue. And then there's people that think pulled pork is barbecue, which it's really not. I mean, anybody can make that first try. All right. And then there's other things. Man, one time I went to Atlanta and I had brisket and it was cooked in a crock pot. It looked like soup. Yeah. I think I was literally sick afterwards. And so Craig and I have been trying to go get some barbecue. He's made a road trip out of coming down here to NATA Houston with some buddies, and they've hit up a couple of barbecue spots. So before we get started with talking about you working with your walk-in AT clinic, tell me a little bit about your barbecue experience on your way down here.
We stopped in Dallas on the way down, got up nice and early, left about 5:30 from the middle of Kansas, and got to Pecan Lodge downtown Dallas, and had some good lunch there, and hit another place the next day and took a break from it yesterday, and I'll try to go to another place again today before we leave tomorrow.
Yeah, so they're going to try and go to Killens, which is one of the higher rated barbecue spots here in Houston. Hopefully you can get to Corkscrew, maybe Truth Barbecue on the way up. Again, this is a barbecue road trip guys kind of thing on the way down to NATA Houston. We're at the Dragonfly booth. So, Craig, you work at a clinic.
Yes.
And you're part of a clinic that provides athletic training, like walk-in athletic training services.
Yeah.
Okay, well, go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, I've worked at this clinic called Pinnacle Sports Medicine Orthopedics. It's in Hutchinson, Kansas. I've been there for 8 years now, and so even several years before I started working there, our rehab director started a walk-in athletic training clinic that was free for any middle school or high school kids to come in and get evaluated, maybe give them a home exercise program or refer them on to either one of our doctors, or, you know, they're free to go wherever doctor they want to, but gives us an opportunity to have kids that, you know, they don't necessarily know if they need to go to the doctor or if they, you know, they can give some guidance. They have access to an athletic trainer that way, and it doesn't cost them anything. So.
All right, so obviously, if you're hosting a free clinic, mm-hmm. there has to be money involved. So how does that work? You're getting paid.
Well, yeah, I don't do it for free. It's part of it's kind of a referral base for the doctors that I work for. If a kid comes and sees me, I can help them get in to see our doctors faster. If somebody were to call into our office and just want to see one of the orthopedic doctors, it'd probably take them, you know, 2 weeks out to get in to see that doctor. But if a kid comes in and sees me and they've got, you know, for example, an ACL tear, and we think, well, we want to capture this referral. So instead of them going to their primary care doctor, ending up at another orthopedic in town or in another, you know, somewhere else, then we have the opportunity to get them in that same day or close if we can, if it's something that is important. That way we're kind of using it to hopefully funnel some athletes and referrals to our physicians that way.
All right, so you're working in the clinic. In a lot of athletic training we do, you know, on the field and those kind of things. What do you see as the skill that you use the most in the clinic?
I think it's just a lot of it's evaluation skills, and a lot of it is just really working on, I guess you can call it bedside manner, or how you treat patients and interact with patients. It's a little bit different in a clinic setting than, you know, in the athletic training room at a high school or something, for example. So it's nice, you can spend more time with people. You don't have, you know, 10 athletes that need to get taped for practice and another kid that comes in that wants you to look at their knee. You know, you have the time to there, and the parents are there a lot of times, so there's a lot of communication, and I think that's a really big benefit too. So and it also helps to, you know, you can do a more thorough evaluation, and I think it really just helps with your skills, helps you improve your skills when you have in that setting where you're able to do that. So
all right, what are some of the ways that you guys are reaching out to the community and advocating for athletic training through your clinic?
We do outreach as well. I'm a outreach athletic trainer as well. I don't do just the walk-in clinic. I'm a athletic trainer at Hutchinson High School, which is a 6A high school in Kansas. It's about 1,400 students at the high school. So I go there every afternoon. I cover, you know, all practices and varsity games, home games for all the sports, and travel with football and basketball teams. One morning a week, we have three smaller schools out in the country. We call them our satellite schools, where I do similar to what I'm doing in the morning walk-in clinic, but I'm going, they pay a small fee for us to, for me to come out one day a week and evaluate kids. As they're, you know, a couple of them are about 35, 40 minutes outside of town. So, you know, if for a kid to come in to see me at the clinic, they're, you know, they're missing probably an hour and a half, 2 hours of school when it's all said and done. So I go there and I can see, you know, five or six kids in an hour. Yeah. And I'm at the school, and they have that benefit of not having to miss so much school time. So the schools really appreciate that too.
All right. So again, following up with the AT advocacy, mm-hmm. how do you find that being an outreach to those areas, those communities, that you have been effectively communicating what an athletic trainer does?
That's a good question. I think part of it is, you know, saying, you know, sometimes the secretaries at the school say, oh, the trainer's here. You know, just saying, well, it's actually an athletic trainer, and explain to them who you are, what you do, so that, you know, I said, oh, okay. So they understand more that it's not just, you know, advocating for what the profession is. Or a lot of times you see kids will come up and say, oh, I want to do what you do. How long do you have to go to school for this? And I say, well, pretty soon, probably 5 or 6 years, depending on, you know, by the time you're in college, you're probably going to go through a master's program. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of education that way, just because kids are interested in what we do, and they don't necessarily know that much. There's not very many high school athletic training programs in my area. Yep. So kids don't have a lot of experience with it that way. So that's part of what I try to do.
All right. So what has been your favorite experience as an athletic trainer so far?
I'd say just the relationships that you build with students. I don't know if there's a specific, you know, example I can give you, but, you know, just getting to know kids and building a trust with them. And, you know, you feel like you're invested in their lives, just, you know, seeing a kid when they, you know, go through an injury or go through something where, you know, it's kind of sometimes it's a pretty devastating thing to have a, you know, a season ending injury or something like that. So I think that's the biggest part. That's why I got into athletic training, is to get to know, you know, build relationships with kids and, you know, hopefully have a positive impact on them.
So do you feel like you are able to build a relationship with them at the clinic, or just in the secondary setting?
I'd say it's more so in the secondary setting. There are some, I call them, you know, frequent flyers or kids from other schools that aren't schools that we contract with, but they still come in and see me. And so there's a little bit of that. But for the most part, it's, you know, kids at the schools that I go to more often that are contract schools.
All right. So tell me a little bit more about the job that you're doing there in the clinic.
I aside from doing, you know, just the walk-in clinic, I also do some other administrative stuff. I'm working on hopefully trying to get into a position where I'm going to move into the clinic full-time. We'd hire another athletic trainer to cover the schools. So doing kind of a physician extender thing where, you know, I'd work more with doing DME, casting, bracing, and, you know, helping with the workflow in the office for the physician, as one of our physicians as well. So that's something that is kind of on the horizon here.
So. All right. If you were going to coach somebody on being a physician extender or a clinical athletic trainer, what would you say to them?
Are you talking about somebody that wants to get into it, or
yeah, somebody who's maybe considering, like, I'm a full-time at the school, I don't mm-hmm. do anything at the clinic.
Yeah.
So if I was going to go to the clinic instead of the high school, what would your thoughts be?
I would say just, you know, as far as if you have some experience, maybe you're doing outreach through a clinic and you're not doing as much in the clinic as you think you could or you'd like to, I'd say just start by, you know, observing and seeing if there's anything that you can help with, or seeing if there's something you can do that can save them some time or help to get patients through faster. You know, a lot of times it comes down to, you know, the bottom line. If you can do something that can help them save money or increase revenue or something like that, then that's a big thing, especially, you know, because it's a business a lot more than, you know, going out to doing out, you know, outreach athletic training, or, you know, traditional athletic training, I guess you'd call it. So.
All right, so you're going to head out from here. You're going to go to Killen's. What is a barbecue spot that you plan, that you most want to hit before you head back to Kansas?
I think Killen's is probably one of them. I'd make sure we go there, and then if there's any others, that'll just be a bonus, I guess. So.
All right, very good. And again, at Killen's, one of my favorites is a smoked turkey. The beef rib is amazing. You're going, it's a little secret, but at the barbecue place in the, like, I think it's after 5, they'll actually cook you a Killen's steak, which the steakhouse is expensive, like, yeah, like $100 person. But the barbecue place will cook a steak for like $25. So a steak, salad, and potatoes and bread or something like that,
yeah,
at Killen's. So it's a little secreted.
Okay, I'll have to keep that in mind.
So you keep that in mind. I don't know if the, I'm not 100% sure, but
okay,
I know we had it once and it was amazing.
Okay.
So, Craig, somebody wants to get a hold of you. What's the best way to do that?
I would say, you know, you can look me up on Facebook. I'm on the Secondary Schools Athletic Training Facebook group, or they can send me an email. My email is cfast@pinnacleortho.com. If anybody needs anything, I'd be happy to help them.
All right. So Craig Fast, again, at Pinnacle Ortho Orthopedic. Pinnacle Orthopedic there in Kansas. You said Hutchinson, Kansas?
Yep.
Hutchinson, Kansas. And again, you can ask him about his barbecue road trip down here for some good Texas barbecue. Greg, it has been a pleasure meeting you in person rather than just a Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
So thanks for being on the Sports Medicine Broadcast live at the NATA 2017 Expo at the Dragonfly Max booth. Thank you.